So I'm going to do the thing that drives me nuts when pastors do. With your first hand, you're going to open to Deuteronomy 33:27. With your second hand, you're going to go to Psalm chapter 46. And with your third hand, you're going to go to Psalm 62. Now, if you've got a third hand, come see me after service. I'd like to see it. I was thinking about it for offering. We probably ought to just give William the offering plate and let him go collect. I mean, half of you sit there and go, "Hey, William, come here. Come get it." And he's right. I see him. Give him the plate, let him run around, and maybe that'll wind him down for the service a little bit or something. I don't know. Hey, we're going to look at God is my refuge. God is my refuge tonight. I started looking in the Bible. What got me curious is when I saw God is love. I was like, okay, what else is God? Where in the Bible where it says God is what? Fill in the blank. What is it? So I started looking that up, and there's a bunch of different ones. It's interesting. The different ones there are. You know, sometimes you think, God is judgment. Not necessarily. He is a judge, and he does judge, but he's not necessarily is judgment. So there's some interesting things there. So we're going to look at God is my refuge tonight. And so let's look at Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. It says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." Then go to Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah." And then in 62, verse 8, it says, "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. God is my refuge. Let's go to God in prayer tonight, and we'll ask him to bless our service. Lord, we thank you for the people that came. God, they came to get a blessing from your word. They came to get encouraged. Something. They're looking for something from you, God, and I just ask you to put Jason Dunbar off to the side, and that you'd be honored, you'd be glorified, and your word would be honored, and help the folks here to get something. Give me the right words to say and the wisdom to say what's needed tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was preparing this message. I got thinking about refuge, and I'm like, okay, what is a refuge? And then I got thinking about the cities of refuge that Israel had. So think about this with me. What is the purpose of the cities of refuge? Well, there were six cities of refuge. All right, they didn't just have one. They had six because the land was quite large. They spaced them out, so there was plenty. So because the land was split by the Jordan River, God wanted everybody on the west side of Jordan, but there were three tribes they wanted to locate on the east side. And so God put six there, one in the north, one in the south, one in the middle, and then he put one on the west of Jordan, one in the north, one in the south, one in the middle. And so you had these six cities of refuge, and the purpose was, you were out doing work with somebody, and something happened, an accident befell, you know, whatever it may be, all right, something happened, and you accidentally killed somebody. Not on purpose, but it was an accident. I didn't mean to. Well, it gave you opportunity to, okay, you're going to go, where is the nearest city of refuge? And you're going to go there right now. You don't wait. You don't try to figure things out. You just, the minute you realize, I just killed that person, you get to that city of refuge. And what it allowed is it gave you time to be able to, allowed you to give your defense. Okay? If that person that you killed, if their relative, their near kin, if they met you in the way and they knew that what you had done, and if they decided they wanted blood for blood, they had every right to take your life. And if they did, God said they're justified because you just killed their kin. You just killed their family. But if you got to that city of refuge, they couldn't touch you. And then the children of Israel would get together and the people in that city would judge you to find out and determine, okay, was this an accident or did you purposely kill this man or kill this woman? And so you were able to give your defense and tell them, like, this is what happened. And, of course, the revenger would be there, and they would give their piece, and the city would decide, all right, was this an accident? And if they decide, yes, they did not purposefully do this, you were safe if you stayed in the city of refuge. You had to stay in that city. You were not able to leave. And so you were able to escape the accuser. The city of refuge allowed a man to escape the accuser. So the refuge then, I look at this as a refuge is a hiding place and a resting place. Because he was able to get away, right? So he's not constantly on the run. So he can hide from the accuser. They can't get to him. And he can rest. He can rest. Go to Psalm 57. David talks about this quite a bit. Talks about refuge. 57 verse 1, it says, Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. This psalm here was written when David was hiding in the cave. If you look at, I have just written below the chapter number and before the first verse, it says that David wrote this when he fled from Saul in the cave. So he's sitting there hiding in the cave, and then Saul comes in, and that's when David cut a piece of his robe off. All right, so David wrote this around that time. Here he is running from Saul. Well, he's talking about how, man, he's looking at God's shadow as his refuge. Think about that, a shadow. There's nothing to a shadow. It's just there. What can it do for you? But David, he trusted in God so much, he goes, look, God, I'll trust in your shadow as my refuge. That's how much I believe God will take care of me. I'll just take his shadow and I'll be good. But he was running from Saul, and what did Saul do? Saul had falsely accused David. He was telling people that David's trying to take the throne from him. He's trying to kill David. He threw a javelin at David at one point. He threw one at Jonathan because he thought Jonathan was covering for David. And now he's out actually hunting him down. David done nothing but been loyal to King Saul. But he got jealous. He got mad. And really he knew the Spirit of the Lord was off of him and the Spirit of the Lord was on David. He didn't like that. He didn't like it. Look in 2 Samuel 22. David says a little bit more about God as his refuge. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. If you go to, I think it's Psalm 18. Psalm 18 is the psalm for this chapter. And the words almost correspond in each verse. It was very interesting. I was looking at it. The thing that Psalm 18 doesn't have is the refuge. I thought that was interesting. But David here, he looked to God as his refuge. And you know, you think about it, man, David ran from a lot of people. He ran from Saul. He ran from Absalom. And then he just had other enemies that he was running from. And so he knew, like, I have to have a refuge. And he looked to God as his refuge. He didn't look to anything else. So, because God is my refuge, what then? What then? Go to Psalm 46. So first of all, because God is my refuge, I don't have to fear. Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. I don't have to fear because Well, when I'm weak, God is strong. See that in the very first part? God is our refuge and strength. You know, I find when I'm weak and I'm looking and searching for a refuge, that's when I need some strength. And you know what? God can be that strength in my life. Even though I don't have it, God can be my strength. And he can give me strength because he is strength. And so therefore, man, my refuge can be strong. And David's sitting here going, look, though the earth be removed, he says, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, if the land just started falling apart and everything just disappeared, he says, hey, God's still my refuge. Though there's a storm swirling around me, God's my refuge. He's a present help when trouble comes. Think about that. Not help is on the way. You ever break down and, you know, yeah, I've heard of people breaking down or something happened and someone put, hey, are you okay? Do you need some help? Oh, no, I'm good. I got help coming, right? And, you know they're on the way, but just time seems to go by slow. Oh, well, God here, it's not, oh, I got help coming. No, he's a present help. He's there currently. When you need him, he can help you through this time. Now, he may not take that storm away, but he's your refuge through that storm. Through it. Even in the midst of the storm, we can have peace because God is our refuge. So I don't have to fear. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid, as you know, like, oh no, what's going to happen? Hey, if you're serving God, you're doing what God wants, if you're putting your trust in him, you don't have to fear about the storm. Next, go to Psalm 94. Because God is my refuge, Psalm 94, verse 21, and here it says, they gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. God is my defense. He defends me. That means I don't have to worry about it. The Bible says, vengeance is, God said this, all right, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Well, that means when false accusations come, when attackers come after me, I don't have to try to always defend myself. I can let God do that for me. Now, you say, well, Pastor, are there sometimes you need to defend yourself? You know, someone is accusing you of something. Yes, there are some times that, yes, you need to say something in the moment. But there's times you need to know. You got to know the difference of, well, you know what? There's nothing you can do about it. There are times where you're getting accused of something, and what can you do? Hey, let God be your defense. Let God take care of it. All right? It says he's the rock of my refuge. Man, it's pretty strong. I found that one interesting. It says, for the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. So you think about it. If you go find a refuge place, it's built on something, right? And you hope that it's built on a good foundation. Well, God is our refuge, and he's also the foundation of our refuge. So, man, you really have nothing to fear. Because you get to your refuge and go, man, I'm safe. And my refuge is built upon my God. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to crumble. It's on a good, solid foundation. So he's the rock of our refuge. And then at verse 23, he will bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. You know what? Sometimes I can't handle the attacks of the wicked. Sometimes there's nothing I can do about it. And God's saying, don't worry, I'll take care of it. I'll cut them off. We've seen that happen at times where a righteous person is being attacked, and there's not much they can do, and they try to say, hey, I'm innocent, but there's just the attacks are coming, and then given a little bit of time, all of a sudden the information comes out that, oh no, they really were the righteous. And oh, the attackers, they were the wrong. And all of a sudden you see things getting turned against them. That's what God's saying. He says, look, I'll take care of the attackers. Don't worry, I'll be your defense. I'll be your defender. I'll take care of them. Look in Psalm 62. What's the next thing? Because God is my refuge, Psalm 62, and put a finger in Psalm 91 as well. Psalm 62, verse 5, it says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." And then look in 91, verse 2. It says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust." Because God is my refuge, I can trust him. You know, that's a good thing to do. Why would you run? You know, you think about it, if you're caught in a storm and you run to a location to get out of the storm, if you didn't trust the location, why would you go there? That makes kind of sense, right? Well then, hey, I can trust my God. So why then wouldn't I run to my God for refuge? God is the one person we can trust always. Look. Oh, it's not in here. Man, we can't trust man, right? Look, let's be honest. Can we really trust our spouse 100%? No, most of the time. But do our spouses let us down? I know I let my wife down, okay? So she can't even trust me 100% of the time. Now, she does put her trust in me, but sometimes I'm going to fail her. That's the difference. God is not that way. We can put our trust in God and know that I can trust him. He's not going to let me down. And if I think he's let me down, well, actually, he didn't let me down. I just don't agree with how he's doing something or how he's handling something. I think that he should be doing it this way, and instead he's doing it this way. It's not really God letting me down. It's God's doing it not my way, but his way. And when we got to remember, oh, that's right. His ways are not my ways, neither are his thoughts my thoughts. But we can trust God. We can trust him. And we can trust him because he's going to defend us. He's stronger and better than anything you can trust. So why wouldn't you trust him as your refuge? Why not run to him? Why not put your full trust in, all right, God, take care of me. Give me peace and hide me. The next thing, go to Psalm chapter 9. Because God is my refuge, I don't have to fear. He defends me. I can trust him. Fourthly, he helps me through my trouble. Psalm 9, verse 9, it says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of troubles. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." When troubles of life have you down, when you're feeling oppressed, turn to God for refuge. He'll help you through the trouble. We got some folks going through trouble. Look, there may be folks right now here in the auditorium going through some trouble. Go to God. He'll help you through it. He's there for you. He's the one who can give you peace while you're in the midst of a storm. Look, a loved one, they can put an arm around. They can be there. They can try to comfort you, but it's that internal peace. You can't get that unless you get it from God. You're not going to get it from God unless you go to him and ask for it. And you put your trust in him that he'll help you through this. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Look, God cares about us. That's why he says, look, I am your refuge. So come to me. I'll help you with this trouble. I'll help you get through it. I like how some of these things, they overlap with one another. All right, we see here again that we can put our trust in him. Because you know what? God has not forsaken us. He hasn't left us. So we know that he'll help us through the trouble. He'll get us through. He'll help us through it. And we can be stronger and get through it on the other side. And fifthly, go to Psalm 142. Psalm 142, verse 1, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Psalmist is going through this hard time, and he's looking to people, and there's no refuge in them. Verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. He is always there for me. No matter what I'm going through, no matter who's around or who's not around, God is always there for me. And we need that. Look, there are people in our lives that help us through difficult times. I understand that. But what happens when that person's gone? Look, if you're trusting in a person to always get you through something, it's going to be rough one day. That's why, and don't get me wrong, it's good to, rely on people. It's good to have someone to trust. It's good to have someone to be able to lean on. But if they're the sole thing, that's not good. Because when they're gone, what are you going to do? You've got to put your refuge in God and trust in him. Because man can and will fail us. Think about how often that's happened where you've tried to do something and you've been, someone let you down. You know, sometimes it's not on purpose. Sometimes we accidentally fail people, all right? We could have good intentions and we didn't follow through with something and we let them down. We can apologize, but they're like, it says in verse 4, I looked around and no man cared for my soul. You let me down. But the one who doesn't let us down is God. He's always there. We don't have to wonder, all right, God, are you going to be a refuge this time? I'm about to go through some difficult days. Are you going to be there for me? Well, he will be there for you. God is our refuge. Go to him. All right? He's because he's my refuge, I don't have to fear. He defends me. I can trust him. He helps me through my trouble. And he's always there for me. I got one more scripture we're gonna go to. Go to Revelation chapter 12. See, this one is something that sometimes I don't think we think about because we don't actually see this happening ourselves on a daily basis. But you know what? It's a good thing God is my refuge. Because remember what we talked about with David? And he had people accusing him? And he would run to God for his refuge? You have probably might even have some people accusing you, but I know of one person that is always accusing you. Night and day, they're accusing you. And you don't even get to defend yourself. You're not even there to defend yourself. But God's our refuge. Revelation 12, verses 9 and 10. And that great dragon. Was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan. That's going to be a good day. We're going to be there. We're going to get to witness that, okay? That's going to be a good day. This is up in heaven now. Which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels are cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. So day and night, he's going to God saying, aha! Caught one of your children again. Aha! Guess what this one did? Ah, hey, God, guess what that one did? And the thing is, some of it's probably true. Think about it. Do we fail God? So some of what he's accusing us of, it probably most of what he accuses us of, is probably true. Okay? Unlike House David, David had false accusations being brought up. It's a good possibility it's true. But you know what? We got Jesus Christ sitting right next to the Father. And the devil goes up and he goes, "Ah, hey, God, I saw one of your children down there, Jason Dunbar, I see. Did you see what he just did about an hour ago? Yeah. And he says he loves you. He says he's your child, but look what he just did." Jesus goes, "Father, my blood that I shed when I died on the cross for him, it covered that sin. So that sin actually is not on his account. His soul is clean. And in fact, he has my righteousness on him. So we actually don't see that on him. I took that sin and I gave him my righteousness and I placed it upon him. He's a saint, Father. So that's a false accusation. That's what we got. We got Satan coming to God the Father and Jesus Christ going, that sin's been paid for with my blood. And in fact, you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ placed upon you. When you get saved, your sin account gets taken off, erased, but it can't just be left blank. You got to have something, and you get the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So when Satan accuses you, Jesus goes, "No, that's been paid for. Don't listen to that old devil." But he continues to do it day and night, night and day. Well, guess what, folks? One day we're going to get to be there, and we're going to see God tell that old serpent, "Go, get out of here." He's going to kick him out of heaven, and he's not going to be able to come before God to accuse anyone else. It'll be done. It'll be done. God is our refuge. Do you run to him when you're going through difficulties? Do you run to him when you're going through a hard time? We got some folks going through a hard time right now. Look, we as a church, we should be praying for them. Okay? Let's put some prayers into them. The Sadowskis, they're going through a rough time. Look, I hope that they're going to run to God as their refuge. I believe they will. But you know what? They could use some help from us. We can give it. But you know what? If you're going through a hard time, you can run to that same refuge. That's what's great. We don't have to wait and go, "Oh, man, oh, I just ran to the closest city of refuge, and it's overcrowded. There's no rooms in the inns. I can't come in. It's fully booked. I got to run to the next one." No, there's always room at God's refuge for every saint that needs it. So if you're going through difficult time, remember, God is my refuge, a very present help in trouble. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, we'll dismiss.